how's she going? Here it is, the 17th of October, big Saturday night, Vietnam. Sitting here, hanging on my ass. Got a couple hours here to spare before I go fly. Could be doing something else if you ask me. Realize it's been a while since I've sat down getting anything off. So I thought I better drop you a line, drop you a tape. Sam, I want to thank you for those tapes. They're outstanding. There's two letters you sent me and all the tapes. Really appreciate it. I should have sent you one back earlier. I sent one home here the other day, a week ago. But I just hadn't got around to taking out another one for you. I haven't taken the time lately. Time is going by. Time's getting by pretty quickly. But keep busy, I guess it does. This tape that I sent home, I had the half of it taped. Guy on my back seat one night took his tape recorder along and plugged it into his helmet, and he taped one of the hops. It was kind of messed up hop, and I cut both of it out. And then the next morning, we were on scramble duty. He hooked up his tape recorder in the back seat, and he got scrambled. So I was flying front seat. We went up on the scramble and orbited for about an hour while these Army Hilo pilots came in and made a medevac. And they're discussing over the radio, and these guys on the ground are trying to get through this real bad canopy and stuff. One guy's got his legs blown off, and it's really a pretty cool tape. They're talking back and forth, and we got it all down on tape. Sounds pretty good. Finally, they got the guys out of there, and they called us in, and we put a strike down on where Charlie had been, where Charlie was about the only place that Charlie could be. This group had been in contact with them. There were rice paddies all the way around it, so they still had to be in this one tree line. Might have dug in, but we peppered hell on them. Anyway, I sent that tape home, and maybe fans back there get a kick out of it. I talked to Vicky here a couple weeks ago. She called me up, as you said she would. Kind of surprised the hell out of me. She says she's heard all the tapes. And that one tape that's in back up from the PI was, I got kind of gross in it, I guess. I was telling you about a few of the places we had been and a few of the girls. Two of the girls, and I forget what the broad's name is right now. Oh, Sean. She says, tell Sean hi. I says, how the hell did you know? Not her. She says, I heard your tape. Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I guess I'd babble on a little bit on his tapes. But seemed like hell of a nice kid over that phone. I told her I was going to be in Sydney. I put in for the 22nd of December. It's over 2 months away yet. I'm going to probably go out of my mind before I get there. But, I suppose I can wait. Yeah. Anyway, she said she would be, let some people know that are going to be down there at that time. And I talked to Mike. Oh, hell, I talked to Mike quite a while ago. He called up the other day that somebody didn't come get me. I just got off the line. I was up in my room. Took about a 45-minute nap. Nobody told me that Mike was on the phone, so I didn't get to talk to him. Anyway, Mike said he's going to try and make up there for R&R. And we decided that R&R would be best. He said, well, he had skipped Christmas at home if I wanted to be out of country over Christmas. I don't know, you spent a Christmas in country. I don't know what it's like in Australia. It's going to be a hell of a lot better than being in Bentui. And I'd like to be out of here during Christmas time. So I think I'll put in for it. I hope I'll get it. I'll have damn near over nine months in country at the time. So I should have a pretty good chance getting what I want. Yeah, I'm going to check this tape out, see if it's working. Well, it seems to be working okay. Get back here on the horn. Say, I just got a letter from Darlene. And, I don't know, I was wondering how things are at home. The way she sounds, things aren't going too good. Eddie and Jack are still fighting, and I don't know. I wrote Jack a letter, told him, personal letter just to him a couple weeks ago. Now, this is in August when I first found out about him being sick. And I know everything about the sickness. Mike came over here and told me. He told me the whole story. I wrote a letter to Jack. I said if I could help in any way, kind of tied down here where I can't really do a hell of a lot about it. I was wondering what you thought of the situation. Well, Darlene's letter just didn't sound that good. Sound like things were pretty grim back there on the ranch. Jeez, I hate to see that. Jack's bust his ass for it. Yes, Eddie we both know it. I haven't been in good communication with any of them. I'm kind of a four-letter writer. I send tapes, and I discuss all fine things and how life is rosy and how things are going well over here and everything. I haven't really, for one thing, I didn't want to tell them how sometimes how things kind of get grim over here, but they haven't been real good contact with me. So I was wondering, if you could. Well, I'm sure you're checking on it, seeing it. Damn it, why don't they realize that you're not going to go get anywhere fighting each other? I don't know. It's kind of hell, really. I really feel like there's not a hell of what I can do. I'm over here. There's a sign on my door that says Tulsa, 8,898 miles. 1,500 miles to that. 9,400 miles. Long way from home. And things kind of tied up. That's a good word, I guess. Use it quite a bit, yeah. I'm sure, well, as I said, I know you get in contact with them. I suppose I don't know, I'm going to be sending this thing to Norfolk. And I'll send it to your base there. In case you move, it'll be a hell of a lot easier to transfer. And I'll send it to your home. And if you're moving, if you've moved already, have a good time in Denver. If you haven't, are you expecting to in a little while? Get up to Denver. You'll probably be able to get home maybe on weekend, whenever you want. Some damn thing. Besides, it's a good time to get up there. Get up there in that skiing season. If you do move over there, you'll probably go by Bozeman and get your ski equipment. Pick mine up too. Everybody's got my gear and stuff. Get my ski equipment. I'm sure you're going through there. Dan Sunling has got it. Give Dan a ring and tell him that kid is fine. All this good shit. Get yourself out. Well, what you probably do is take the ski gear and put it up in a cabin, and well, you'll be getting to the part where they did were there somewhere. Have to get started with the Denver girls. You get up there and get all set in, Pops, and about March 7th or 8th, tonight, kids are going to be rolling into town. It's going to be some fast drinking and some fast skiing. I don't think I'll probably be here 1 year to the day, 365 days, the way it looks. I don't know. Might get a week off earlier. Good behavior. It looks like we're gonna be sticking around here most of the time. So I'll be home then. Another thing, I know I'm kind of babbling on it, Martha. I mentioned things as they pop into my mind. You're going to Denver. Another one of these damn cancer sticks. I know those damn things are gonna kill me if they don't watch out. Another 4 months, I can give them up, though. I'm gonna give them up in the States. Gonna give up drinking while I'm driving. And take a lot of taxis. And by the way, you better watch that shit too, kid. I tell you, those are mean bills to pay. And what's worse, you'd say? Hell of a lot worse to be driving around when you're a little bit intoxicated. The cops just give you downright police brutality when they pick you up. They have no mercy on you, and you can kill yourself that way. No, neither one of us would even consider getting in an airplane when we even had one beer. For at least 6 hours, we've had one beer for 6 hours, I'll probably get out of my haunt, even if it's in the back seat of somebody. But, so think about that. I tell you, take it from the man who's learned, even if it doesn't sound like he's learned, but that second one, it was the kid that learned that two beers and driving home, but a lot of coin. We sure use that $1,000 elsewhere. Speaking of money, I think I wrote on this tape, told Jack if he needed anything on that trailer, any license or anything, I'd send him $500 here a couple months ago, I think in either July or August. And if he needs any more money or anything for that trailer, let me know. Why don't you see if they've got it out leasing? If they can lease the damn thing, be a pretty good thing. It's better than sitting around for another year, taking tax deductions on it. But you probably in phone calls with him every now and then. Probably phone calls with everybody every now and then. I know I used to get on that phone all the time. Okay. Getting back to get down to Denver and stuff, you need some ski gear. I'm going to be going to Hong Kong here in probably January. Middle of January or so. If you want any clothes, I'm going to be buying some clothes. Everybody's gone over there. They get a week's leave to go into Hong Kong. And that's where I'll be buying all my stereo gear. I haven't picked up anything. I get one of the guys went in the other day in Hong Kong, and I had him send me back an 820. Yeah. And I'm going to send that over to Jack. I believe you mentioned that he wanted one. So I've got it all boxed up here, and I've got to put on set orders on it and send it home to him. I don't have, these aren't my orders, but another kid that's leaving. Better get this off to him. I also, I told you about the stuff. I sent them for silverware sets in the Philippines. And some wood carvings. But if you want anything, especially ski gear, like ski pants and stuff, I don't know what you bought in Japan. Should have bought it in Japan. And I don't know if you can get it in Hong Kong, but I think you can get everything in Hong Kong, including the flap. Anyway, you want anything, send me your sizes, and I'll get them made. And I'll probably go in there, I'm going to get a suit or two, and maybe probably one suit, a couple sport jackets, some towel, and a bunch of shirts. And they're really good clothes, you get some damn good place to go. We've got all of the places where everybody else has been getting their stuff. A couple of the guys have gotten their clothes a couple of years ago. And this one painter, they're still damn good clothes. And, you know, just really a reliable fitter. So, I'm going to go in there and try to get things. And, I don't know, I've got to kind of remember to get them a little bit big. Amazing. I haven't been exercising or anything, but I'm down to 153 pounds now. I don't look it. I still look probably as plump as ever. I always was kind of a flat, fat little kid. It is my hair still. But I'm in love. I'm in love now, so it don't really make a damn. As I said, I'm jumping all over hell in the state. But I came back from I got up here to Bentooy. Well, you saw Bentooy. Bentooy doesn't have a hell of a lot to offer. And got back from Jest, and I've been kind of busy. But there's this one Vietnamese woman that works over in the dispensary. Everybody on the base is just going, Jesus, she is really good looking. And she works at she works over at the Third Surge O Club at night, six nights a week. So I was over there just talking to her one night and kind of hit it off with her. And she's really, really intelligent. She's 24 years old and just extremely good looking. And we hit it off there, and then I saw her the next day or so, and I said, well, how would you like to go out with a JG for a change? You know, instead of a commander or something. She said, I'd love to. So I've taken her out a place and gone down to her house and saw her. She lives with her family. Haven't done a damn thing. And just barely kissed her. But just really, really, she's a nice kid. I kind of, oh, I'm not joking. I am in love. I'll love anybody. I'm in light very much. Nothing serious. But I think I'll plan to continue this and kind of mend my ways and walk a straight line here for a while. Haven't been going down to the hookers. Haven't been doing a hell of a lot. And I don't know. She's probably funny thing. She's probably one of the nicest girls I've ever taken out in my life. Just really cool. I sat down there the other night, took her to dinner, and went downtown and eating, and sat in a bar for a couple hours. Things are kind of grim. You can't use a pickup because you get these things stolen off of it and everything. So I had somebody take me down, and I had 4 hours later, I had them pick me up. So I was kind of stuck to this one bar and restaurant. But we sat in there and just talked. And had a great time. I've never just sat down and talked to somebody, you know, like that, and really enjoyed the hell out of it. How we talked about her, and mainly we were talking about her and her experiences and stuff. She was engaged one time to a French Vietnamese, and he was a pilot. He got shot down, got killed. And then she started work, and then she fell in love with a guy that worked at the dispensary, and I think he took her for a goddamn ride. She was still a virgin, man, and when she went in with him. And he told her he was going to marry her and bring her back to the States and gave her all this horseshit. She believed it. He went the whole route. And he left. His tour ended. Just a second, I'll check this. Anyway, his tour ended. And she wouldn't go out with anybody. And she got letters from him every day. And, you know, he kept saying he kept trying to get her get her over here, and he was gonna come back for her and all that sort of shit. And one day he just stopped writing. And she kept writing him, and she says, "Listen, I understand if you're back in the States and you realize it's not gonna work out. We're two different people in a different country and all this. You were over here alone, and we had a good thing and all this stuff. If you still don't feel that way, don't keep my hopes up." And he kept writing back, "No, honey, I love you more than life itself. I really crushed it." And I don't know, we just talked about that. She's really an understanding girl. I like the hell out of her. I says, "Well," I told her, "Well, I'm going to take her out some more. In fact, I think I'm going to start seeing her whenever I can." And she says, "You know, if we can have something together, you know, for a few months or something that we both enjoy and realize, go into it with open eyes, and don't lie to me." And I said, "No, that's what I like." So, I don't know. It probably set on my head. But I'm going to, I think I'll continue seeing her. I should have been down there tonight. I don't think she worked tonight. But I'll get the last go, and I was tired. And damn it, I should have gone down there all afternoon. Sorry. Kid, no matter how much he falls in light, always kind of says, "Well, you got a job to do, and you better do that first." So I screwed that up tonight. Get everybody in the base just really well. I see it a lot in this ministry and stuff. Everybody's really running after her, you know. And she says she won't come up to my room. And as I said, I haven't done a damn thing with her. And she can't come up to my room in the field queue because she's worried about what people think. And which I tell her is silly, but I can kind of see her point of it. I don't know. Maybe she's giving me a line, too. But I've always been a gullible son of a bitch. Some good-looking broad tells me that she's just sleeping with someone to keep warm. I'll probably believe it. But anyway, she won't come up my room. She lives downtown with her mother and her little sister. That kind of cuts out her place. Maybe I'll never get any affair going, anything, but it sure is nice just to go out and talk to her. It's good. I know one of these broads that I had in, or one of these broads that I took out, the Philippines, the school teachers, but I thought she was a real nice kid or something. I haven't got any letters back, so I guess wasteful thinking. Well, I see the tape is still running, so still going on. I haven't been writing lately. Haven't been taking the time, and that's always a prerequisite to getting letters. Haven't heard from Raylene Sullivan. Hell, I sent her a letter a couple months ago, and she hasn't written back. She said she was gonna move, and sent me her new address, and she hasn't written back yet. wrote to Holland a couple months ago, and he hasn't written back. Last I heard, he was in the hospital. He had a real bad operation from drinking too damn much. And they had to remove some of his stomach. He's getting checked out in 727s. That's the last I've heard. I haven't heard any word lately. Been kind of... In fact, your last letter was a real good one. And I'm getting two from Darlene lately. Which I've got to sit down and write tonight. I might not get it off tonight. I'll get this one off. But Darlene's, as I said earlier, it's not the most cheerful things in the world. They were very good letters. I really enjoyed them. I wrote, Aubrey had sent me a letter. I sent him back a little letter. He said that Aubrey was still carrying my letter around the time he had see somebody and pull out of his pocket and open it up and say, "Uncle Tim wrote to me," and show him the letter. I guess the letter just got so thin like toilet paper. Going with you. You're still in Norfolk. How's the woman life treating you? You hurt the key lately? Still keep her on the string. When he's got MD, you're gonna get married here. There you're already turned over a quarter of a century, about a year and a half ago. Slipping up there on 27. They said I had mentioned that. Nothing. Jesus, I didn't realize it. The kid's coming up here on the quarter century here in a couple weeks. Oh. I always tell it too, look in the goddamn mirror. gonna have to go get me a toupee when I'm in Hong Kong. That'll really take everybody out. Either that or get a transplant, like Mike did. I accused Mike of doing that, but I don't know if he did or not. Have you heard from him lately? Mike came in here, but as I said, I didn't get to talk to him. Said he'll be in about 3 weeks. 2 weeks now, and might have a few hours. I might just say to hell with it. Get off the flight schedule and run up there and talk to him. He's got a bunch of pilots in right now. And we've cut down our patrol syllabus a little bit. Well, we're only flying about once a day. And cut down a couple of our night patrols and flying them in the daytime. So no big sweat on flying. It's pretty hard to get two hops a day. I've got a good possibility of getting two tonight. I've got the scramble duty go on and get there 9 o'clock tonight and fly a patrol at 11 till 1 and then stand scramble from then until tomorrow noon. So there's a good chance I can pick up two hops. I've got a newbie in the back seat where he can't fly the front seat on a scramble, so kid might scarf up a couple front seat hops here. Flying's been going pretty good. The war is still on. You might have been in the papers. Well, I heard it over the news, Paul Harvey news about all the friendlies that were killed out in the Delta the other day. And we got scrambled down there. And, I wasn't on a first scramble down there. This other flight was on it. And they were putting in a strike. And these couple Cobra gunships just joined in on the strike, which is kind of a no-no anyway. And the guy on the ground was controlling us. These Cobras rolled in on the friendlies, on the guy on the ground. And the guy on the ground says, "Place black ponies, what are you doing?" And he says, "Hold it," you know, and then he realized the Cobras were there, and they wiped out, killed eight of them. They dumped their rockets right in on top of them. It was a pretty shitty deal. I got there about 15 minutes later, and I had kind of a bad situation. I had the guy that was, I haven't made fire team lead, by the way, which is, you know what a fire team lead is, a guy that's, he's got papers saying that, you know, he can lead a flight and stuff. I think I'm up for it pretty damn soon, but you've got to be over here quite a bit, got to have some experience. Usually it takes about 4 months for a lieutenant, and usually about 7 to 9 months for a JG, and some JGs, that's a good one, for 7 to 9 months, and in others, they usually get it, hope and get it, their 11th month over here, about a month before they leave. Some of them don't get it at all. But anyway, we get up there, and I'm supposed to be flying wing, and I've got another JG that's 4 months behind me in the back seat. He's kind of slow in the first place, and we've got the fire team lead is in the other aircraft. The other aircraft, runs out of his Fox mic goes down, and so he can't talk to people on the ground. He passes a lead to me. I go in there, and we've got, oh hell, we've got 14 helicopters coming in there, and they've got these friendly shot up, and they've taken out the U.S. out of there, and they've got three CNC ships, and all three of them are going out of their minds. And so my backseat is talking to people on the ground, and I get my wing plane is going, you know, what's going on, you know, and all this stuff. Because he can't hear anything except what I pass him over uniform. Now I switch him up, try and get all the helos up one common frequency on uniform, and I do that, and one of the helos is bringing in a goddamn howitzer, and they drop it in the mud. And so everybody goes apeshit about, well, they dropped it right near the VC position, and the VC are going to get it. And so it really gets you a screwed up deal. And finally, they get two U.S. get on the ground where all the friendlies are, and this one guy, I don't know what he was, but he got his shit in the bag. And finally he comes up on the net over Fox Mike and he says, "Okay, all of you goddamn helos, get out of here and get off this frequency." He says, "I'm going to do some black pony work." And he says, "I want to operate these guys and I don't want to hear any bullshit over this net." So he says, "I'm impressed." And so my wingman, man, doesn't hear any of this, so I finally get us back up on a tactical frequency on uniform. The guy on the ground is giving us where the friendlies are and where we can shoot, and he says, "Now we're going to move you around a lot." And so I get, thought I passed everything off over to my wingman, and I did. And I call in, and I go in and strafe, and real careful, you know. I put in 20 rounds the first time. And he says, "Right, that's where he wanted it." So I tell my wingman, I says, okay, put it right where I did. He puts it there. We go ahead and run the whole show, and we dump X all our ordnance. And, the fire team lead was a little bit pissed because he said, well, he didn't really understand the situation. And I said, well, and part of the time, my backseat was talking out a Fox mic, and he wasn't getting the information that I wanted to, and so I'd have to switch over to Fox mic, talk to the guy on the ground, and still fly the airplane, switch switches around, talk to my wingman, talk back to the guy on the ground. It got to be kind of a zoo, but I thought, you know, the guy said, you know, we really put our ordnance in where he wanted it, and I told the fire team lady, I said, bullshit, I did the best I could, and I got the goddamn job done. But a couple days later, they had a general down there at a CNC ship, and they had a whole bunch of Cobras down in this province, and the Cobra says, well, we're on station, we've got scrambled down there, another group of ponies got scrambled down there. Cobra says, well, we're on station. General says, god damn it, he says, I don't want any of my people killed today, go back home, we've got pony support. And General came out with an attaboy for the ponies. And I guess he went back to these people that ran the Cobras and really chewed some ass. But it's all fun and games. It's kind of shitty games. The weather over here has been kind of shitty. In fact, we get quite a bit of monsoons. It rains every day, about 23 and a half hours a day now. It rains every day, usually a couple hours, 4 or 5 hours in the afternoon, cloudy, and then the clouds get low and it gets kind of flagged up. Haven't flown in any real bad stuff here for a week or two, but it's always around. Stay out of it, I guess. Tonight is going to be kind of a touchy situation, I believe. We've got a typhoon that's coming in, and it's supposed to be hit around us. So, might kind of screw things up. The weather looks pretty shitty right now. There's all kinds of thunder bumpers, and it looks like it might go down pretty low. Anyway, fun and games. I got a promotion, I guess. The skipper and the stuff aren't too happy about it. But they made me AVWEP's division officer. And a division officer, I was an ordnance branch officer in Wung Tao, and our division officer left. And so I know a little bit about AVWEP. And so they made me a division officer. And division officer, AVWEP, I've got 2 JGs, 3 chiefs, and about 40 enlisted personnel under me, which most lieutenants don't have under them. Skipper's kind of pissed about it, but he says, well, he's gonna probably put me out of a job when he gets a lieutenant in here, but we don't have any lieutenants around. And I've been busting my ass at it. It's I don't want to fuck up, but I'd like to keep it. It's kind of feather in your hat. If I keep the job and do a pretty decent job of it as a JG, being a division officer is unheard of. I mean, you just usually don't do it. But that is a lot of damn work. I've got to write a evaluation of an officer that's senior to me in date of rank, but he works for me. And I've got to write his fitness report. Yippee skippy. And I've been told that I should be making it an unsat one. But it's kind of keeping busy. Didn't work over 12 hours a day, and I plus doing my flying. Can't keep busy. We've lost another plane here about 2 weeks ago. That's the third one since I've been over here. Been averaging about one every 2 months, which kind of went up on the average. This last one, it really a screwed up situation, as was the time before the plane was shot down, but Bart getting his was a screwed up situation. But both guys ejected and were picked up, and both of them were back flying, and you know, everything came out all right. But they went in on a run. And they were firing Zunis. They pressed the button and the damn Zuni seemed to have blown up on the bottom. The bottom of the plane just started on fire. You know, they're bellowing smoke all underneath their underside, and they had the rest of the ordnance there. So they pressed the pickle button and it wouldn't leave. And they were still under fire, so they punched out. As it turned out, after they punched out, the other ordnance didn't blow off, which could easily have happened. They still had other rockets that were sitting right in that fire, and all kinds of 7.62 and stuff. But it didn't blow off, and the fire finally went out. The guys, went on the ground. Official report says the plane flew for about 15 minutes. Flew for a time after they punched out, I believe is how it stated. Well, one guy, Pete Ford, was one of the guys. That's the second time he's ejected. He ejected right after you left. And he was in the back seat. He had one of the new guys in the front seat. They landed on the ground, they saw their wingman up there, and they got in radio comms, and they heard these shots of people were shooting at them. That's not the friendliest country in the world. It's not where you want to go for a sunny afternoon picnic. And so they were hiding down the rice paddy, and they were down there about 20 minutes waiting for the helos to come down there. But said old Pete was down on the ground, and saw his wingman up there, and then he saw another OV come flying over. Came down about 500 feet, was making a turn and climbing back up. And he said, "Jesus, we got the Air Force OVs in here, you know, they're going to give us some support and, you know, keep an eye on us, really help things out." Looked up and he said, "Jesus, it's green. What, I wonder where that other OV came by," and it flew by again. And he looked up, it's his plane that he had signed for, still flying around. The goddamn thing was trimmed up real good. So it had climbed for a while. It had climbed to about 10,000 feet, you know, just real slow climb that was trimmed in a circle. It just climbed, and then it'd lose its airspeed and then started descent. It'd come down to maybe 1,000, 2,000 feet. And then it'd build up all kinds of speed, and then it'd start climbing again. And this goddamn thing was just flying around. Paddy or Paris control was going out of their mind, because when you punch out of the plane, it automatically selects emergency on IFF. And Well, I don't know how long it flew up there, but I do know it scrambled another set of ponies, and they scrambled up there when they heard about people being, you know, punched out. They scrambled up there, and it was 50 miles away, so it took them 20 some minutes. They stood on station until the guys were picked up and the helos left, everything was taken care of. They were going home, the plane passed them. And, you know, they saw this other plane still flying around in a circle. So, it finally last seen was entering a cloud at 4,000 or some damn thing. Went in to see how it could do in IFR. Yeah. Every night about 6 o'clock, over the Bentui runway comes 05, flapping its wings, sparking emergency. The damn plane, well, that's the last they saw of it. But finally a guy came up on the ground and says, "There she comes again. It's getting lower this time." Sure enough, came in and landed. Landed in a rice paddy, ran out of gas, landed itself. And it probably would have been a little softer, but the rice paddy was about 3 foot of mud, and so, and this plane is pretty damn tinny. It kind of twisted it up, but it stayed right on its bellied itself right in and didn't turn over. It bent things all to hell. We went up, sent an EOD team out there, and they blew it up. It landed itself. And officially, don't mention that around, but it sure makes kind of a funny story. That was the same day I took over Ab Webb's division. Well, needless to say, cause of the crash was undetermined explosion under the aircraft caused by the ordnance, and so who should be in a world of shit but the Avweb division officer? Why did we lose an airplane? And we had messages from all admirals in Washington wanting us survey on this, and I've been writing messages and answering messages, and we've had two safety teams down. They're chewing our ass. Did you guys fuck up? Why did that thing blow up? And the only thing, both the safety teams, now what we said, we thought the only thing that could cause that is if it took a round through one of the rockets on a previous pass and then set it off. And then when he tried to pickle it, instead of blowing it out the ass, it took a round right near the front. It started burning through this hole. And then it enlarged the hole, and then it could burn for about 5 seconds. In fact, yesterday, we had one of the designers, an engineer, rocket engineer, was out here. He agreed with us that sounds like the best reason for it. And All these messages are going on saying, "Boy, Battle 4 must be fucked up. They're handling their ordnance wrong." And I got a whole bunch of goddamn messages saying how to handle it. Well, if you're building up 20 rockets a day and you have 10 people, it'd be nice to handle it the way they do. But where in one day we'll handle 250 of those, the average day is 130, and a hard day, a lot of scrambles, we'll go through 250 of them, and you can't sit there and, I don't know, the division officer has a lot of responsibility, Jesus Christ. I've been in the skipper's office for goddamn times in the last 2 weeks, and had these safety teams down. I've been walking around with them, and then one of my men will do some goddamn thing, a little bit different, and I'll try and close the guy's eyes, and then the safety team inspector's eyes, tell him, go get a cup of coffee. I go over and choose the mask for a while, come back, walk through the area again. I let him go out of my goddamn mind. Yeah. Yesterday, we finally, we had the second team, or second guy. We had a team down first, and they left day before yesterday, and then another guy arrived yesterday from China Lake, the weapons testing center. He went through all our system and said, no, he didn't think that we were at fault. Because, well, they were trying to pin the blame on somebody. It'd be great if they could hang a JG. This is the Airbus division officer. I'm sure they could hang him to about a 40-foot tree. But fucking kid, I was paddling for my goddamn life there for a while. We finally go in and we tell him how we're doing it. We take him through the whole area and he says, no, we're doing it the correct way. And I've got a whole backlog of messages saying which is the correct way and which we're not doing it. And he sends out a report yesterday afternoon saying, we're doing it the correct way. We go out last night, Randy Wyatt shoots a rocket. And for some reason, it didn't go quite right. It just blew the shit out of the tube. So I had 45 out this morning. I was going to shoot myself. I don't know. I haven't sent the report. I was supposed to have a report in today on it, you know. And I should be working on it right now, you know. Sending out an unsatisfactory report because we had a rocket tube just blow up last night, the Missouri rocket. And when that hits Washington, there's going to really be shit hits the fan again. But it's kind of humorous. You got to find humor in these things. As I said, the maintenance officer told me today he wants me to get off the flight schedule the next couple days because he thinks it's going to take me about 14 to 16 hours a day just keep up with message traffic. I just, fuck you, I'm over here to fly. I'll do as all I can, I'll be goddamn if I'm going to quit flying just to answer a bunch of goddamn messages. But it's fun and games. Another thing, we're getting all our airplanes, putting in a secure voice, you know, a scrambler unit. And so we've got this team down here that's changing all the airplanes over. And that comes under the ATs and AEs. And as I said, I was the Av WEP's division officer, which includes the ATs and AEs. So right now, everything that's wrong with the squadron is either ordnance or electronic drive. Because they're getting all this new equipment and this shit's going. You know, when they hook up, it takes 3 days to put all this shit in. They're wiring everything around different ways. And when they change all the wiring in the airplane, they make a few screw ups. So, getting planes down, everybody's coming to me. Well, you're an AVWEP division officer. Why isn't this plane flying? Why isn't the radios working? I'm going, oh. But I guess it's it's all fun and games. As I said, I really enjoyed this. I wanted this damn billet. It's a good billet, and I like to be in something where something happens at least. But I'm in something. Something is happening now, that's for sure. I wanted something to happen, but I didn't really want it all to happen at the same goddamn time. But, well, I'm really in a great situation because if I fucked up real bad, you know, I tell these people how we're doing things and stuff, but if I fuck up real bad, they'll say, God damn it, he was just a JG, and he should have been a lieutenant in there, but just a JG, really screwed up with, you know, to slap his hand and stuff. But now, on the other hand, if I do half-ass good, they'll say, hey, you know, he's just a JG, you know, they'll probably get an attaboy out of it or something up there. Or not an attaboy. But at least the skipper might let me go home after a year. Would you believe that? Anyway, fitness reports will always help on your next duty assignment. And if you've been doing fairly well, I might be able to get what I wanted. Of course, everybody else is put in for jets. We're putting in for jet transitions. I put down VR. Fucking West Coast big engines. Life on the fucking beach duty. With lots of TDY and screwing around the world. But screw them and they don't like it. I told them I'd even give them an extra couple months if they wanted me to, if I had to extend to get a good squad. I don't know, I suppose about November, December, I'll either be a half or something for Patreon. I'm just going to be so pissed when they sent me to Pensacola, Florida. But I don't think they'll do that. They do up. As I said, well, I get Pensacola, Florida, I will be pissed. Well, I guess this is enough bullshit on here. Again, the airplane we lost, I didn't mention it at home. I don't know I doubt if it ever came out in the news or anything, but what the hell is it? People don't need to know. We lose aircraft now and then. Didn't really lose aircraft. This control came up when it was squawk emergency and came up over guard and said, you know, plane squawk emergency. If you need assistance, you know, give us a call. Wingman came back and says, Roger, be aware. The plane has no pilots in it. I don't know. Well, I think this tape is about had it, so good luck, and drop me a line here. You get down to Denver, screw your eyes up, kid, and I'll keep in touch.